रामवृत्रय वतु गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ शं च मे मयश्च मे प्रियं च मे लुकामश्च मे कामश्च मे सौमनसश्च मे भद्रं च मे श्रेयश्च मे वश्यश्च मे यशश्च मे भगश्च मे द्रविणं च मे यन्ता च मे धर्ता च मे क्षेमश्च मे कृतिश्च मे विश्वं च मे महश्च मे संवित् च मे ज्ञात्रं च मे सूश्च मे प्रसूश्च मे क्षीरं च मे धयश्च मरुतं च मे अमृतं च मे यक्ष्मं च मे नामयं च मे जीवातुश्च मे दीर्घायुत्वं च मे न मित्रं च मे अभयं च मे सुखं च मे शयनं च मे सुषा च मे सुदिनं च मे सहस्रपरमा देवी शतमूला शताङ्कुरा सर्वगुंहरतु मे पापं दुर्वा दुःस्वप्ननाशिनी काण्डात् काण्डात् परोहन्ति परुष परुष परी एवा नो दुर्भे प्रतनु सहस्रेण शतेन च या शतेन प्रतनोषि सहस्रेण विरोहसि तस्यास्ते देवीष्टके विदेमहविषा भयम् अश्वक्रान्ते रथक्रान्ते विष्णुक्रान्ते वसुन्धरा शिरसा धारयिष्यामि रक्षस्व मां पदे पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
In the shower of his love, I seek Bhagwan Baba's blessing and permission to commence. Revered elders, esteemed faculty members, dear brothers and sisters, and my beloved students, Sai Ram to one and all. The summer course in Indian culture and spirituality on Indian epics and Bhagwan Baba's educational philosophy, it offers students insight into what they could imbibe pursuing their higher learning from this unique institution. In this sweltering summer, excerpts from Indian epics is like a soothing treat for our parched souls. Epics have been a secret driving force behind unfolding every Bharatiya's life, developing finer feelings and deepening one's inner process through introspection. We may wonder why the Bhagavad Gita was preached in a battlefield when it preaches peace. The Gita represents the deeper conflicts within us, the war that rages inside every soul. Arjuna's breakdown in the face of war, his bewilderment about what is right and wrong in the face of intractable perplexity, these are the situations we face daily. They can be experienced as powerful catalysts for our transformation. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that it is when we are at the hardest hit that we must not quit. For this evening session, we have three speakers. The first speaker is Aditya Dinesh. He will be summarizing the day's proceeding. Sri Aditya Dinesh joined Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in the year 2013. He is currently studying in class 12. Before joining the higher secondary school, he studied in Indian school at Al Wadi Al Kabir at Muscat, Oman. He was introduced to Swami by his grandparents. In standard 10, he secured an outstanding 9.8 out of 10 CGPA. He completed the Bal Vikas course in Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Oman, where he studied from his kindergarten. He finished second grade in piano in the Associate Board of Royal School of Music, affiliated to Melody Music Center, and stood second in Oman in the second grade examination. He is also a bhajan singer in Muscat Samiti. In addition to these, he has been fortunate to perform in front of Swami as a part of 2010 International Children's Christmas Choir. The second speaker of the day is Kumari Haripriya TV. She will be giving us insights on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Kumari Haripriya hails from Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu. Currently, she is studying in third BSc honors in mathematics from Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. She has been into Swami's fold since her childhood and has completed her 9 years Bal Vikas course. She has to her credit several prizes in elocution, quiz and shloka chanting competitions conducted at state level by Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Tamil Nadu. Apart from this, she is a very sincere and dedicated student who actively participates in various culture programs and is responsible for the upkeep of hostel prayer hall. The third speaker of the day is Sri Anvit Mohan Hegre. He will be talking on the Bhagavatam. Sri Anvit hails from Mumbai, Maharashtra. He finished his pre-university in Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust in the year 2012. Currently, he is a student of third year Bachelor's of Business Management at Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Muddanhalli campus. He has been a Bal Vikas student and has participated in Ashadi Ekadashi in the years 2004 and 2009 in the Divine Presence. Apart from this, he is also a part of Prashanti Dance Group. After the three talks, we will have a musical offering by the girls of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus, which will be then followed by the bhajans and prasadam distribution. Now I request the first speaker of the evening, Sri Aditya Dinesh, to come over to the dais and render the summary of today's summer course. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram, I offer my most humble and prayerful salutations at the Divine Lotus Feet of my beloved Mother Sai. Respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, a very loving Sai Ram to one and all. It's my great good fortune and my privilege today to place before you the different items that marked the second day of the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality. The morning session was indeed a very thrilling, enthusiastic, and an inspiring session which unfolded the different dimensions of Indian culture and spirituality. The session began with the auspicious chanting of Purusha Suktam, which was rendered resonantly by the students of the Anantapur campus. This was followed by a scintillating alumni panel discussion, which was the first item of the morning session, unfolded the topic, ideal size students and their role in society. The panel discussion consisted of 4 alumni members, Sri B. Venugopal, AVP Portfolio Management HSBC Secunderabad, Sri P.V. Krishnamohan, Senior Divisional Manager, Tata Group, Hitachi Constructions, Ms. Krishna Subhaga, Principal Technical Writer, EMC2, Bangalore, and Ms. Padmashri Radha Swami, Assistant Professor, Department of Business, Commerce and Career Management. And this alumni discussion was moderated by Dr. Anantha Raman, a distinguished professor and an eminent scholar and a faculty member of the management of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Now the whole discussion started off with Dr. Anantha Raman remarking in his introduction that our beloved Swami in this loving avatar has come to this earth holding a pot full of butter of education and wielding a stick of spirituality in the other hand. There were a series of question and answer interactions between the moderator and the panelists. For instance, the question on how Swami served as an anchor in each and every one of our lives was answered beautifully by the panelists, who declared emphatically with conviction that Swami was the greatest anchor in all of their lives. In fact, they also declared that it was not just Swami's physical nature that was acting as the anchor in each and every one of their lives, but more importantly, it was this message that stood by each and every one of them for going as far as they could in their lives. It was also said by them that he was an anchor who never ever let them down, and they substantiated their views by giving various instances where Swami was standing beside them, giving them unfailing support, unflinching support all throughout their lives. Then another question which was put forth was that how do the present day students get closer to Bhagwan even without his physical proximity? To which the panelists said that it is much more important to connect to the omnipresent Lord than to be close to his physical nature, to get his physical proximity. Because the physical nature of Swami has a few limitations, but the Swami who is within us, who is omnipresent, has no limits, who is boundless. And then an important question which was discussed at length was that is there any need to have a dual nature to survive in this corporate world today? To this the panelists deliberated that if we stick to our beloved Lord at every moment of our life and stick to the principles laid down by our beloved master, then there is nothing in the world that can stop us from doing the right thing, and nothing can lead us to the path of unrighteousness. The panelists asserted that the impression and the ambience that we create in our work spot goes a long way by succeeding in our endeavors to hold on to our principles even in the corporate world. And they also said that faith is something which is so very strong, and there can be no problem if we are really strong enough to follow his principles practically. They too substantiated this by giving a number of circumstances when they were held on by various problems and where they held on to the principles to fight those problems. Then they also gave us a very important idea, which was that we must not just quote Bhagwan here and there in our speeches and just talk about Bhagwan's speeches and all his messages. What we need to do is internalize him in our hearts and live them in our day-to-day lives. The problem only lies when we think about what the world would think of us. So instead, we need to keep a check for ourselves, keeping only Swami in our minds. For the Lord is pleased, then the whole world is pleased. The panelists also brought out Swami's message by saying that we must change our jobs only if we want to work more, but not keeping remuneration in our minds. If our intentions and thoughts are pure, then Swami will surely guide us. Another very important point, which was driven home by the panelists, was that if we are true to our conscience, listening to the voice of God within, we are bound to be successful in doing the right thing at the right time. Then on being asked by the moderator about the two qualities which they gained or acquired in their stay in the Sri Satya Sai institutions, they replied, namely, they said that the things that they learnt were understanding from others' point of view, humbleness, self-confidence, translating work into worship, clarity about the goals, and self-confidence. Now all of them concluded with a one-line advice to all the Sai students by saying that we need to be true to our identity and we must have deep conviction about the values that we have imbibed in this institution. And the concluding speech was given by Dr. Anant Raman, who said that we all, as Sri Satya Sai students, have our work cut out. Not just the work, but our post-scholar works. In the sense, the work that we need to do after we finish our degree or the post-graduation in these institutions. He said a very interesting thing. He said, if we don't follow Swami's principles, then we'll be like a cow which does not provide milk. We'll be like a book which does not provide any knowledge. And we'll be like a fruit which is absolutely tasteless. So whenever we do something which Swami wants us to do, we'll never be alone. We'll always have Swami always with us. With this, the first item came to a conclusion, which was then followed by a very inspiring talk given by our dear brother Giridhar Sairam, a renowned scholar from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently pursuing his PhD in chemistry. He spoke on the topic, the lessons from Mahabharata for today's modern society. He first started off with a beautiful question by asking us, how should we actually go about learning the Mahabharata? And to this, he started by giving each and every lesson that Mahabharata puts forth before us. The first and foremost lesson that we come across in Mahabharata was what Krishna taught Draupadi, forbearance. He said that revenge is personal, but justice is for the greater good of society. So any act or any attitude of revenge must be converted into a good attitude of trying to find justice for the society. That was the first lesson that we learned from Mahabharata. Then the next greatest lesson was, one has to face the consequences of his or her own actions. This is clearly portrayed in the situation where Duryodhana gets hit on his thigh in the Gada Yuddha. The consequence of what he did previously, where he told Draupadi to come and sit on his lap after winning the battle of the dice. So that was a very great lesson that Mahabharata teaches us. The consequences of one's own actions has to be received by the person who does the actions. Then he beautifully brought out the difference between Paradharma and Atmadharma, in which he said, Paradharma relates only to your bodily consciousness, whereas Atmadharma is about all the atmic consciousness that we have within us. And then he asked us, how do you connect to the Lord? And then he gave us a beautiful explanation in which he talked about prayers, the address to which we connect, and a beautiful example in which he gave about the disrobing scene of Draupadi, where first when she cried out, O Mathuravasi Krishna, Krishna did not come. She shouted, O Dwarakavasi Krishna, he did not respond. But the moment she cried out, O Hridayavasi Krishna, he immediately came and responded to his call by providing unbounteous amount of clothes to protect her from the disgrace from that royal court. And he also spoke about how Lord Krishna protected the Pandavas even when the Pandavas went into the forest, and at that time when they surrendered to Lord Krishna, at the time of Roma Rishi's anger, at that moment Krishna said, I'll take care of you. I know that he's angry. And at that moment, Krishna took control over the whole situation and brought it into such a situation that Roma Rishi started respecting the Pandavas, even though they tried to steal the fruit of Roma Rishi. So that is the power of surrenderance. With this, the talk by Brother Giridhar concluded and followed by Sister Dibba, who gave us an insight of the lessons that we can learn from Ramayana, that is for the modern society. There were many things that she portrayed in her speech, starting off with a beautiful parallelism between a game and Ramayana. She took the example of well-known Super Mario game and said, how, just like how the Mario goes about its business silently, just keeps doing its work, crosses so many barriers, similarly, we also need to go about our work, our obstacles, just keeping Swami in our hearts and doing the work. Just like how Sita Devi went along with Rama throughout her exile, even though Rama asked her to stay back. And when she did that, she was protected by all means. And even after that, though she was tested by the Agni Pariksha, she remained unfluttered and unperturbed. That was the faith that she had on Sri Rama. Similarly, we too must have a similar faith on our dearest Swami. After this, we had a scintillating quiz. And this quiz was titled on Sri Satya Sai Avatar, His Life and His Mission. There were various scintillating rounds, namely, the first round, life and his events of Bhagwan. Second round, his Upadesh. The third round, Bhagwan Vacha. The fourth round, little objects and lofty messages. The fifth round, names of Lord. The sixth round, tell the tale. The seventh round, say the quote. The eighth round being an audio round. The ninth round was his divine journeys. And the last round was a scintillating rapid fire round. And finally, the house Nachiketa came victorious amongst all other houses, being Gargi, Adi Shankara, and Nachiketa, and Bhrigu. And after the lunch, we had this discussion on Swami's discourse, which was given on 1992, on the 24th of May, which again brought out various aspects of Swami's messages to the students. All in all, with all these various activities that were a part of the summer course, we were enthralled to a totally new dimension of spirituality and Indian culture. We really must thank Swami for providing us such a wonderful opportunity, such a wonderful exposure to all of our students, so that we can learn about our own Indian culture and what spirituality really means. With this, I thank Swami for speaking through me all this while. Jai Sai Ram.
Dearest Swami, with love, humility and reverence, I offer myself at your lotus feet. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to one and all present here. Bhagavad Gita Kinchita Dita Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita Sakritapi yena murari samarcha kriyate tasya yamena na charcha. Adi Shankaracharya in his Bhajgovindam says that even a little reading of the Bhagavad Gita will save us from the date with death. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us the steps towards spiritual enlightenment. If I were asked, according to the Bhagavad Gita, what are the most essential qualities that are required in a spiritual aspirant to realize his own self, I should reply, earnestness and beingness. If I were asked for a second or a third time, I should not vary the answer. For my personal observation of the Bhagavad Gita drives me to a conclusion that, as a rule, our real success is proportionate to our earnestness and beingness. Lord Krishna says about an earnest seeker of his own self in the Bhagavad Gita shloka, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatparas samyatendriyaha. Jnanam labdhva param shantam achirenati gachati. A faithful man who is always earnest in absorbing the transcendental knowledge quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. The essence of this shloka seems to be highly philosophical, but on listening to the following story, you would find it practical. There was a devotee who was an ardent worshipper of Lord Jagannath. From his boyhood, he had accepted Lord Jagannath as his chosen deity. As he grew up, he had a strong desire to go on a pilgrimage to Puri and have darshan of the Lord. But he was poor and he did not have the means to undertake such a pilgrimage which would cost a substantial amount. So he waited for many years and started saving money for the purpose. After he had accumulated a reasonable amount, he started on his pilgrimage to fulfill the desire which he had cherished in his heart for a long time. Initially, he strayed from the right paths to Puri. After struggling for a long time, he was ultimately able to reach Puri and also have darshan of the Lord. Although he was poor and ignorant about the way to Puri, because of his earnestness and sincerity, he was able to reach his destination. Thus, in order for us to move in the direction towards enlightenment, we really have to want it. Enlightenment cannot just be one of our endeavors. Karman evadhi kariste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phale heturbhu ma te sangostva karmani. We must never remain inactive. Each and every moment, we must earnestly work our paths towards enlightenment. That is our prescribed duty. Sometimes, even if we try to remain earnest, fear, desires and attachments that our mind creates haunt us. Lord Krishna says, Trividham narakas yetam dwaram nashana matmanaha kama krodhas tadha lobha tasma teda trayam tyajet. Lust, greed and anger are the three gates that lead to the degradation of the soul. They prevent us from having an earnest, awakened life. So, earnestness in and of itself is not enough. Then, what else do we need to understand who we are? Nahi jnanena sadrusham pavitramiha vidyate tatsvayam yoga samsiddhaha kalenatmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing so pure and sublime as the transcendental knowledge. What is this knowledge that we must be aware of? It is Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhuta Shayastitaha Ahamadischa Madhyamcha Bhuta Namanta Evacha. Lord Krishna is the Self seated in the hearts of all creatures. Yes, this tells us that being the grandest absolute being, we must try being our true being. That is called as beingness. Now, to understand ourselves better, let us consider an illustration. Suppose there is a science student who wishes to be a writer. She knows she would be happy if she could be a writer. Her writings could be prose, poetry, stories, etc. She just wants to write. But she thinks that she is busy with her studies. She feels that she cannot write and therefore she is not being in the state called happy. This paradigm suggests that she has a faulty attitude. She is under an illusion because she can be a science student and still be the other thing called writer. Though she may be busy with her studies, yet she can write during breaks or after the day is done. So there is always time to be who we are, because the time to be who we are is all the time. Our mind attracts unlike things like a magnet. But we must continue to be that being which we have chosen to be, despite the appearance of the unwanted occurrences like fear, desires, attachments, etc. If we remain unalloyed, then just as how Sri Krishna asks Arjuna to see his several thousands of forms and colors and everything, as mentioned in the shloka, Pashya me partha rupani shatashota sahasrashah nana vidhani divyani, nana varna kritinacha. We can also experience our being to an ever-increasing degree. At the end, I pray to Swami to help us to be earnest from today, moving forward with a clear perspective of our true being, of who we are, our purpose and our destination, refusing to be waylaid by our own confusion, misdirection or turmoil to reach the intended destiny. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram. Offering my most humble and reverential pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Sai Ram to one and all present here. Bharat is a Punya Bhumi. The very air which blows here hums with the divine verses of Vedas and Upanishads. This great land has nested many epics and sacred texts like Ramayana, Mahabharata and Bhagavata, which are the guidelines for every being to lead a peaceful life. The Bhagavatam is a repository of the stories of the Lord. In fact, Bhagwan says that the term Bhagavatam can be applied to every account, every story, and every experience which a devotee has with the Lord. In this transient world, wading through joys and sorrows, man has developed a need for someone of his kind, with whom he can share all his feelings, his moments of bliss and sorrow. To fulfill this need, God has blessed man with a unique relationship, which is based on unshakable love. Love that is pure, noble, and free from all desire and ego. In Bhagavatam, it is described as the eighth stage of bhakti, that is sakhyam, friendship with God. The Bhagavatam describes a unique four-stage process, beginning with Salokyam and Samipyam, transforming into Sarupyam and culminating in Sayujyam, wherein the devotee begins as a friend of the Lord and ultimately reaches the stage of oneness with God. In Bhagavatam, God is described as Suhrit Sarva Bhutanam, which means the one who is a friend of the entire humanity. But this relationship with God can only prosper when we open up our hearts and leave it under His custody. In fact, Swami says that offering our sullied hearts to God is like giving a soiled note to the Reserve Bank. A note which is not accepted by anybody will surely be accepted by the RBI. In the same way, God will readily accept our polluted hearts and fill it with joy, bliss and love. The friendship between Krishna and Kuchela is a stage of Salokyam, that is friendship with God at physical level, where Krishna, in spite of being divine, came down to the level of human beings just for the sake of honoring the relationship which he had with Kuchela. The friendship that had begun long back in the ashram of Guru Sandipini. In fact, Kuchela was being received by Krishna with great love and generosity and was also blessed with wealth and prosperity in bountiful measure in return for the little parched rice that Krishna mischievously took from Kuchela. But declaring God as our friend is not such an easy task. We ought to have complete faith in Him. And at times, God puts us in difficult situation just to check whether our love and our feelings towards Him are pure or not. And in those situations, only one solution works out, that is total surrender at His lotus feet. Swami in his childhood had blessed many souls with the rarest opportunity to be with him and to play with him. This is the second stage of Samipyam, which means having divine proximity of the Lord. But the ones with whom Swami had been very close were Ramesh and Suresh. As narrated by Swami, both Ramesh and Suresh were not good at studies. And it so happened that during the ESLC examinations, both Ramesh and Suresh came running to Swami and revealed their fear of examination. To this, Swami assured them that he would write their paper in their handwritings within the given time. So they went inside the examination hall and sat there, patiently waiting for Swami to finish his paper. Swami finished his paper within the first half hour, and in the next 1 hour, he completed writing the answers of both Ramesh and Suresh. Finally, when the results were out, both Ramesh and Suresh were pleasantly shocked and surprised to know that they had scored 95% marks in their examinations. Slowly and gradually, lots of transformations started taking place in their hearts because of Swami's darshan, sparshan and sambhashan, building a strong bond of divine friendship between them. And finally they realized that there is none except Swami who can come to their rescue. There's another such incident where Swami, with all his classmates, had to go to a village fair to serve there as part of Boy Scouts. But there was a problem again. Swami had only one set of clothes with him, which he used to wash every day in the evening and wear the same set of clothes the next day. When one of his friends came to know about this, he got a new set of clothes stitched for Swami. And during the lunch break, when nobody was there, he went and silently kept it on Swami's desk with a small note saying, "Satyam, we all are classmates, we all are friends. And I came to know that you have got only one set of clothes with you. That's the reason why I got this new set of clothes stitched for you. Now you better accept them or else I shall not hesitate to give up my life." After the lunch break, when Swami came back, he saw this parcel and read this small note. To this, he replied back to that student, saying, "Yes, we are friends, but our friendship is not based on worldly desires and monetary benefits. If you want our friendship to continue forever, then please take this back. I'm not going to accept it." This incident shows that friendship with God is all about selfless love, where He keeps giving and never expects anything in return for the love which He gives to all of us. God is the only solace for people who have no other support in their lives. To support this statement, I would like to illustrate an incident. Once in Kodaikanal, Swami had conducted Narayan Seva, where all the poor and the needy people were provided with food and blanket. When this program came to an end, Swami instructed one of the teachers to place few blankets in his car. When this was done, Swami with his driver went away without telling anything to anybody. Everybody in Sai Shruti were confused as to where has Swami gone. But after a few hours, when Bhagwan returned, he told to the students and to teachers that he had been to the town to visit a few destitutes who could not even afford to come near Swami. Therefore, Bhagwan went near them and showered his grace in the form of blankets. This proves that Bhagwan is Anath Rakshaka, the only solace and the only support man has got at times of miseries. Many a time, Swami used to refer to a Sanskrit term, Maitri, which he beautifully separates into two syllables, that is Mai and Three, which means the three different periods of time. Therefore, Maitri is a friendship which is timeless, which existed in the past, exists in the present, and shall continue to exist forever in the future. Even our beloved Bhagwan says that in all these three periods of time, your association with me and my friendship with you shall continue to prosper till the eternity. This noble emotion was taught by Krishna to Arjuna. The friendship between them was of the third stage, that is Sarupyam, where the devotee's countenance reflects the Lord's image. The love between Krishna and Arjuna was so deep that they used to have their food in the same plate. And during the war, when Arjuna was totally dejected, Krishna injected courage and a high sense of duty and responsibility on him, and thus helped Arjuna to avoid a disgraceful defeat in the war. And Arjuna too, like a very good friend, took the advice of Krishna in high spirits and full confidence, because he knew that whatever Krishna would say would be for his own benefit. The spirit of Maitri was embodied by Gopikas and Gopalas in their unique relationship with Natkat Makhanchur, where Krishna, with all his sweet little innocence, could not only steal butter, but everyone's heart too. This stage of Sakhyam is when all the distinctions between God and his devotee disappears, and both the friends become one. All that we have to do is see God in every being, and automatically the feeling of Sakhyam will blossom in our hearts. When this stage of ultimate trust and faith is reached, the next and the final stage of Atmanivedan is very easy and very natural to attain. This is how a true devotee, a friend of God, evolves, beginning from the stage of Salokyam to ultimate stage of Sayujyam, where there is no identity separate from the Master. Krishna has declared in Bhagavad Gita, Advesta sarva bhutanam maitraha karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukhakshami, which means a true devotee is one who harbors no animosity towards anybody and is a friend to all. He is the one who is beyond ego and attachment and has cultivated the quality of equanimity and forbearance. Finally, I would like to conclude by quoting our beloved Sai Krishna's advice. The feeling of divine friendship must activate every nerve and purify every emotional wave. It has no place for the slightest trace of egoism. You cannot elevate the companionship which seeks to exploit or fleece for personal benefits into the noble quality of friendship. Perhaps the only friend who can pass this rigorous test is God. With these few words, I conclude. Jai Sai Ram.
Oh.
inside our hearts, O Sai. A wave of joy and happiness arise, knowing that our journey has begun from the form to the formless. Holding our hands, you lead us towards our journey. You comfort us. You love us. You lend us your shoulder when we get tired. We move ahead, least realizing that in our journey, we have already caught the hand of our formless Lord. Love all, serve all you taught us. Help ever, hurt never, you showed us. Opening your arms, my Sai, you welcome us. Surprised as we are, we hesitate to move. And you, O our dear, ever-loving Lord, tell us. Come, my child, merge with the divine and be one with the formless. We thus realize that our bond is above all and makes us feel one with Thee, O Divine Lord.
To You, O Divine Master of all, we, the staff and the students of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus, humbly offers a collection of divine melodies entitled Journey with Sai by humming to the tune of Malona Kuluvunna.
Haru Rabu, Hiru Pa.
Lotus feet, we experience the divine joy of heaven. You make us realize our dreams. You are our guide, our light, and our source of happiness, Saima.
Pinchu mammu, mari pinchu swapna.
fortunate we are to listen to all the stories related to you, which are all nectarine. Tell us, O Lord, do we have any way to find about your thousand names and forms?
when you, O ever merciful Lord, is by our side, even fear fears to come near us. You are the one who rescue us from the trap of illusions. O Lord, always reside in us as you reside in the 14 lokas.
శంకరుడే భూమికి వచ్చెనురా, నమ్మిన వారి నడుమున వచ్చి నిండు ధైర్యాన్ని ఇచ్చుకొండంత వేల్పురా. లేదురా చింతే లేదురా, భయమే లేదురా, మన సాయి ఉండగా మన కొరకై తాను చాడురా, రాలించే ప్రేమే సాయిరా, భయం విడవాడి వెంట నడవరా, మన కోసం తాను వచ్చేయనలేని ప్రేమ పంచమనలోనే కొలువుండే సాయి, మన కోసం తాను వచ్చేయనలేని ప్రేమ పంచమనలోనే కొలువుండే సాయి, మన కోసం తాను వచ్చేయనలేని ప్రేమ పంచమనలోనే కొలువుండే సాయి, మన కోసం తాను వచ్చేయనలేని ప్రేమ పంచమనలోనే కొలువుండే సాయి.
No other desire but a desire to be with you is a worthy desire. In this ocean of love, Swami, please make us realize that the strength behind us is that of your unseen hands.
No!
beautiful Lord of the universe, even a thousand eyes seem to be less to admire your beauty. Come ye one and all, let us glorify the Lord who is Rama, Krishna, Shiva and Narayana.
हमारी
खुशियां है वहां हमारी हर दिल की अरमान हो तुम जहां भी हम जाए साई वहां तुझको पाए यही है हमारी दिल की दुआ
Everything,
who is the Sanatana Sarathi of our lives, who has ever protected and loved us profusely. We offer ourselves, O Lord, Koti Dandalu, Shatakoti Dandalu.
Jai Jai Girija Balagajanana, Yeah. समस्त लोका सुखिनो